The blessings are falling this night. Your hand. Use your hand and worship the Lord.
Jesus reigns.
Use your hand and worship the Lord. Use your hand, use it. Everybody, hallelujah.
The windows of heaven are open.
The blessings are falling tonight.
Joy in my heart. For Jesus makes everything right.
Oh,
I gave him my old garment. He gave me a robe of the white. I'm sitting to the end of the banner. That's why I'm happy.
Say, hallelujah.
The windows of heaven are open.
Oh, yes.
Blessings are falling tonight. Say, for Jesus made everything right.
Hallelujah.
I gave him my old garment.
Oh, yes.
He gave me a robe of your white.
Oh.
I'm sitting today on the banner.
That's
why I'm happy today.
Your hand. Worship him. Everybody, oh hallelujah,
the windows of heaven are open.
Oh,
let's see some money tonight.
Oh,
joy in my heart, for Jesus makes everything right.
Hallelujah,
I gave him my old garment.
He gave me a robe of your white. Oh, I'm feasting today on the
banner. That's why I'm happy.
Say loud and clear.
The windows of heaven are open.
Oh,
the blessings are falling today.
Joy in my heart.
For Jesus makes everything right.
Hallelujah.
I gave him my old garment.
Aha.
He gave me a robe of your wife. I'm sitting today on the banner.
Oh, yes.
That's why I'm
happy. Go ahead. There shall be showers of blessings. This is the promise of love. Oh, there shall be
seasons of blessings.
There she
is.
Showers of blessing with me.
That's what we need, oh.
Mercy drops from the sun.
Fall for the showers to please.
Showers. Let it fall, let it fall, let it fall.
Blessing with me. That's what we need, oh. Thunders are falling.
Oh, say.
Father, shower your blessing. That's what we need, oh.
Mercy drops from us above.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord, yes. He cared for me. He cared for me.
Through sunshine
or shadow. Hallelujah.
He cares. He cared for me. Through sunshine and shadow.
Oh, he cares
for me.
Hallelujah.
He cares for me.
He cares.
He cares for me.
Through sunshine and shadow. Oh. say, say. Oh, hallelujah.
He cared for me. He cared for me. For me. Through sunshine and shadow.
Oh, yes. He
cared for me.
Your hand, your hand, your hand. Worshiping. Worship the Lord with your hand, your hand, your hand.
Jesus cares.
Let's worship the Lord.
I have something that makes me come into your presence. Fire, fire.
Oh, yes.
Fire, that's the thing that makes me come into your presence.
My helper,
my helper,
helper.
Oh. My helper, oh, my helper. There is something that makes me come into your presence. My helper, na kuru Jesus akagi ebo bolino. I have a reason that makes me come into your presence. My helper, my helper, things that made me come into your presence. My helper, my helper, oh,
my helper,
my helper, oh, my helper.
Oh,
that is something that makes me come into your presence. My helper. Your hands to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Worship him.
He that seated upon the throne of Jasper. Oh, you alone are worthy, Lord.
You alone are worthy, Lord.
You alone are worthy, Lord.
To be praised and adored.
You alone are worthy, Lord.
You alone are worthy, Lord.
You alone are worthy, Jesus.
To be praised and adored.
Oh, you are faithful, Lord. From every side. Oh, that is why your name. Oh, Lord, God. Angels are singing.
You are worthy, oh Lord.
Oh, you are worthy, Lord. Angels are singing. You alone are worthy, Lord. What the words of heaven are saying, Lord. You are worthy, 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 worthy is the Lamb. You are the King, the King of Kings. You are Lord and Lord of Lords. You are mightier than the mightiest. You are the King that conquered it. Oh, you are faithful, excellent Lord. Oh, angels are saying Lord. Oh, we are saying Lord. Oh, angels are saying Lord. Your children are saying Lord. Jesus Christ, you are worthy, worthy, oh. You are worthy, worthy, you are worthy, worthy, oh. You are worthy, worthy, oh. You are worthy, oh. I will lift up your name. You alone deserve our praises. 24 hours working, God. Unchangeable, that can change everything that seems unchangeable. You are dependable from the beginning of the age. You are changeable, that can shake every shaker. Unmovable, that move everything, that move, unmovable. You are the one that changed the HIV to malaria. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are the mightier than the mightiest, wiser than the wisest, all sufficient God. Eledumare, Oba, Oba, Alagbada, you know, Agbakiwa, Lorda, Olori, Yoko, Eledumare, Iwu, Iyadude, Oba, Mimo, 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 Lord, I will lift up your name. If you are a winner, I want to see you clapping. If you are a winner, I want to see you clapping. If you are a winner, I want to see you clapping. The Lord, I eat no yam for food. If you are a winner, I want to see you jumping, jumping. If you are a winner, jump away your sorrow. If you are a winner, jump away your sickness. My God is able. If you are a winner, I want to see you shouting. The Lord is so good. If you are a winner, shout hallelujah. If you are a winner, shout hallelujah. One more thing again. A queen and a Oh, yeah. Jesus said, "You go to Abba. Ola diya dadi lom. Ota bele bele bula oga ganogu. Oho mo marabo. Oya budi kaso. O kwagi kubura bara kubwa rosi. Omo tina ke." Odu meje jodu malala. Tuku du meje makanono mada bulonu mwa. O kwa gibu mwa neli mwa. Ti uro na jaroso nche wula mwa. Isu anasusu mwa. Talita kum. Mwa mwa bia sina wubiliye. Who has the final say? Concerning your problem, I want to prophesy to somebody. Whether they have written you out, who has the final say? Concerning barrenness, Jesus were in the city of Anna Kumwa. One yaga be taken and a million is in Aqua. Waka di Rikima, Makanapa for Tiake Wago. Whoa, the finance, Jehovah turned my life around. He turned my life around. He makes a way. Tell me who has the final say. The challenger that can challenge all my challenger. The trouble that troubles Pharaoh in the days of Egypt. I said this to that river that swallow him. Who has the final say? Jehovah God. Yes, sir. Listen now. I waka, no one. Sa-sa-sa-sa, no one. When I turn around, no one like him. I waka, waka everywhere, sat everywhere, look around. Everybody look, see what the Lord has done.
Oh, yes.
Everybody look, see what the Lord will do. Oh, everybody look, see what thy God will do. My God is a big God. Just like that. Can somebody make some noise to the King of Kings? My God is a good God. My God is a good God. He leads me home. Yes, He set my feet above my enemies, above my equals. Oh yeah, I feel like clapping. Just like that, now I'm going to go to the region. I'm going to go. Oh, yeah, I feel like dancing. He's just better than, he's just better cannot do. Do you believe it? Ike mekwa anu ya ozo. 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 I need a miracle in my life. 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 Unchangeable God. Unchangeable God. Unchangeable God. Reliable God. He's dependable God. Omnipresent God. Unchangeable. Unmovable. Omnipotent God, omniscient God, omni everything, God. The Lord that can do overdo, the Lord that can change your life around, the Lord that can change your status, the Lord that can change your HIV. He the man out of money, Jesus. He that walk upon your problem. Call him a changeable God. Call him a movable God. Call him a
Hallelujah. Amen. That's just a warm up. Hallelujah. The first day of the month, and you are in the presence of the Lord. Somebody here, your life will never remain the same. Let us announce our entry to the new month with a laugh.
You alone are worthy to be praised. 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 To quote Ifurudio.
Amen. That is how you'll be rejoicing throughout this month in the name of Jesus. Okay, go back to your seat and sit on top of your blessings for this month. Amen. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord. Very good to be in the presence of the Lord. Take your seat. Take your seat. And let's answer some few questions. Today is just praises and praises and praises. We will just thank him and worship him. We will just praise him and thank him and worship him. But before then, let me take a few questions. A few questions, if there are. And by what I want, how I want to dress now, you will know who is in our midst. Just watch me.
It is going. going to be great today. Jesus Christ is already here. Holy Ghost is already here. It is going to be great today. Jesus Christ is already here. Holy Ghost is already here. Say it is going to be great today. Jesus Christ is already here. Holy Ghost is already here.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Can we go on now? So you don't need any introduction again. Thank you very much. Uh-huh. The only thing is that I think it's Brother David Wosu. Brother David Wosu. You came in from Los Angeles together. You flew in together today. Oh, God bless you, sir. Greet the church. Just greet the church. Just greet the church.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, the Lord God.
Oh, many potent brethren. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Jesus' name.
God bless you, sir. You're welcome. We welcome you. We welcome you. Okay. And our brother, you know, he's always challenging us. He flew in from Atlanta. 12 hours flight. Landed, changed up, and started coming straight for Vichy.
Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! It's a great honor and a real privilege to be called a son of God in this age. To be called to be in your midst is a great honor. Brothers and sisters, God put to be a king if God called you to serve him. What a privilege to be a son and a daughter of God. God richly bless you. Amen.
Glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And our other visitors, you are welcome. I had somebody testifying from Port Harcourt. You are welcome. Don't know any other person. We don't know you. You came in, you sneak out. We welcome every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. And turn to your neighbor and just tell your neighbor you are welcome to God's presence. Tell four people around you. Four people around you. Four people around you. And the online members from around the world, can we wave to them? Can we wave to them? What do we say? Say very loud. Shalom. God bless you. If I mention one country and not mention the other, they will fire me. Say you did not mention our country. So all over the world, what do we say? Shalom to the bride of Jesus Christ. God bless you all. The first day of the month, and you are in the presence of God. Hallelujah. How a wonderful way to start the month. Amen. Okay, those of you who have some questions, we'll not take too many because we want to pray, worship the Lord. We want to do what we should do on the first day of the month. Yes, let me hear you, sir. My brother is always asking questions.
Shalom, Josh.
During our phone-in program yesterday, were you the one that called?
Yes, sir.
I recognize the voice. Okay. God bless you.
Amen. Shalom, Josh. Pastor, we thank God for the gifts that is given you to the world. And we pray that the Lord will continue to use you.
Amen.
My spirit log with your spirit. And I know the reason, because I was called through the world. And anywhere I hear the word of God being do justice to, my spirit always rejoices.
Amen.
And by the grace of God, on the first Hilo of February, that February 2nd, you were asking about those who want to be baptized. I know there will be many questions. You are asking them questions about what's wrong with their church. But I know you asked me more questions. That's why I didn't stand on that day. But by the grace of God, after my 40 years, because I got my baptism in the year 1976,
joy.
And I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the year 1977, amen. But having seen the omission, I will not call it wrong. Because of what? When you say the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you don't mention the name. Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So having seen that, with that very word, you had it when the assistant to do it. So on that day, I decided to
rebaptize. Clap your hands now. Rebaptize.
Before that day, my two daughters have earlier had their own. Praise God.
Amen.
When I say 40 years ago, this message has not been around. Because I knew I came to Lagos when I was age 4. And by the grace of God, it's Lagos I schooled. In tracks, in everything, even when I became Christian, there was nothing on that line. So I wouldn't say that those of us who had our baptism then, without hearing the omission, we might not say they are going to hell. As some people conceived, you have not said that. And I still remember again, on the day I got my baptism, I remember, even some people still they didn't understand. On that day, I want to bring that introduction.
Go ahead.
At the time of baptism, when you say you are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are actually baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
That's
many
right.
People are yet to get it.
That's right.
So we thank God for that.
Amen.
The question I want to ask is on Judas.
Sir, you have also dropped a question by your comment. It's actually a question. Because you have passed a judgment by your own thinking, not by the scriptures. Every judgment you pass must have a scriptural backing. You are saying that those who did not hear this message about the correct water baptism before the message came on, like those of you baptized in 1976, you are saying that you believe they did not go to hell. Sir, according to which scripture?
Now, if I don't have a scripture to quote on that, I will believe they did what they did according to what they read in the Bible, that Matthew, is it 28 or 2011?
What did they do? What we are doing now, is it not according to that same scripture?
Something we should observe, sir. Even before we are talking about baptism or not, there are some other Christians that one way or the other, they believe they serve God in the way they know. Yes, we may not have any scripture to back them, but at the same time,
sir, let me tell you something that may interest you and the whole Christian world.
Yeah.
There was a time the word of God was closed. That was in the 15th century. Until through Luther, the light began to come up again. And each time, in every age, under the star messenger for that age, the word of God for that age is released. Always remember that the gospel is not for everybody. The gospel is for the elect. Even when Luther broke out from the Catholic system, there were many more that remained in the Catholic system. But those who saw the light and followed him, they are the elect for that age. They are the bride for that age. In that age, they did not know about the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They all baptized Father, Son, Holy Ghost titles. But it was accepted to them because they walked only within the light that was given to them in that age. Come down to John Wesley, the next age, in the restoration of the fullness of the world. The same thing with him. But when he came to Pentecost in 1906, when the fullness of the world was restored again, then God raised a star messenger again in this age with the completeness of the world. When you refuse to follow him and you are still holding on to Luther, onto Wesley, onto the denominations, with whatever light they had in the past, when the light now is given forth to his people, there must be a group of people that will see it. All that God has ordained for them to see, they will see it. And in this age, he raised that man, William Marion Branham, with that light. And please, that man was raised in 1933, the ministry started. And that ministry spread forth and came to Nigeria here in the early 70s. And as that light was shining, every one of us that are God's elect, they will see it. And you are God's elect. That is why, remember, the purpose of the Holy Ghost is that he will lead you to all truth. You say you received the Holy Ghost in 1977. This is how I will know it is the Holy Ghost you received. Because you saw the light. The deep, call it to the deep. There is a deep to respond. You saw the light. It is evidence that you are God's elect for this age. There are many more that baptized like you did in that same time, but they will not see it. Including the denominational leaders that will never see it. Why? Because unto you it is given to know the mystery of the...
Praise God. Praise the living Jesus.
So what's your second question?
On the issue of Judas.
Judas.
We have broken scripture by trying to protect Judas in our conversation that he didn't go to hell. If we believe that it was Jesus Christ, or it is Jesus Christ that was talking in Matthew 26:24, Mark 14:21, Luke 20:22, when he gave a call to that man who will perform that task of betraying him, of showing him. If we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ that was spoken there, that spoke there, we need to believe that anything he said will come to pass, or that he meant it. And John 17:12 reemphasizes it. Maybe I want to read that. John 17:12.
John 17, verse 12.
Yeah.
Okay, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled.
Jesus Christ emphasized the earlier statement he made about Jesus, Judas.
Sir, this scripture, none of them is lost. Lost where?
I don't say
lost. Lost from where?
I don't say lost. I didn't say lost.
I'm reading Bible.
Okay, lost.
Judas is lost.
Yes.
Lost from where?
That is from being saved.
Is that the meaning of that statement?
Yes. He's lost among the sheep. That's supposed to be the spiritual meaning of it.
Why is he lost? from being saved. Why?
Because he betrayed Jesus Christ.
Talk
and
to microphone. Talk to microphone.
As the way he cursed him.
Because he betrayed
that
Jesus.
Let us read in Luke 22.
It's okay. Because he betrayed Jesus, that's why he is lost.
And Jesus, no, not that, because of that, but Jesus Christ caused him.
Eh?
He was given that cause.
No, we are reading a scripture.
Okay.
Sir. He's not caused there. We are only being informed that he is lost.
He was re-emphasizing what he had said earlier, like in Luke 22, verse 22, which all the other gospel carried.
That what?
Luke
22:22. Sir, did Jesus curse Judas?
Yes.
Which scripture?
Luke 22:22. And
Luke what?
Luke 22:22. You can take only that one because that was
20 what?
22:22.
And truly, the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. The next verse. Okay. There is another narration where he said it would have been better
if you were not born.
If you were not born.
Yeah.
And during our live program on the Bright Television on Thursday, I think Pastor Weston, you answered that, come and continue where you stopped. So that it won't look as if only me they talk about.
Sir,
give me microphone.
Okay,
No, let him answer you.
Before then, sir, I want to continue on his statement.
Okay, go on.
In that my questions, we were trying to compare Peter and Judas. Yes, it looks like Peter betrayed Jesus Christ, but it was being prayed for earlier. That is, it's an issue of praying for someone causing the other one.
Sir, we want to answer you systematically, but keep jumping here and here.
No, I want to put you all together, sir.
When Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross on Calvary,
yes, sir.
When they were hanging him there, they were crucifying him.
Yes, sir.
There was a prayer he prayed.
Yes, sir.
What is the prayer?
Father, forgive them.
Forgive who?
Them.
Who are those them?
Those that were persecuting, killing
him. Was Judas among?
Judas was already dead.
Was Judas among those that killed him?
Yes.
And when Jesus prayed for those who were killing him, they did include Judas?
We might not say that. Sir, are we saying what Jesus Christ said is non-effective?
You are the one I'm asking. When he said, forgive them,
yes, sir.
Is Judas not among those that kill him?
Yes.
But he said, forgive them, for they don't know what they were doing. Among all of them, do you think Judas knew what he was doing? If he knew what he was doing, then why did he regret it? Concerning the war.
Praise the Lord. There is no scripture where Jesus cursed Judas.
None.
Do you agree?
No.
No scripture.
The woe.
We have read it. What does woe mean?
The woe means it's not going to be saved. He has lost his salvation.
So anyway, Jesus prescribed woe on people, that means they cannot be saved.
Huh? Answer.
When Paul said, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel.
Yes.
A necessity is laid on me. It is not that I am doing it out of pleasure, but I have a reason and I must preach this gospel.
It's a clear statement.
So the word woe,
yes, sir.
Is sorrowful pain that will be upon a man that does something. Do you understand?
No, you cannot compare the two, sir. You will not compare the two, sir.
Compare which two? We are using the word war.
War
is the word war means cost.
Yes, sir. When he said war to me if I didn't preach the gospel, that I'm going to be damned if I don't preach the gospel. Hence, I have to preach the gospel.
That's what I am saying. That way. I am trying to explain to you the word war.
Yes, sir.
It's sorrow, it's pain that will come upon a man for something that you have done. Is that not so?
Yes, sir.
Now, for Judas, you discover that he went through that woe. He went through that pain. He went through that sorrow. That was why you read your Bible in the book of Matthew 27. He repented of him. He was sorrowful. He was in pain. It was that same pain that he took that money. Not only that the Pharisee refused to collect, he threw it there and left. And the highest thing he could do for himself is never to live on this earth anymore. Is that right? That is the woe that he has to go through. All the Pharisees, he said, woe unto you, Pharisee, hypocrite. Did he tell them like that? He spoke to them that woe unto them, hypocrite, because of what they were doing. It was a painful moment for all of them. And they all themselves came to regret it. They passed through that same pain in AD 70. They suffered dearly for it. But that does not mean that God did not have them as his own elect. If you go back to the book of Zechariah, you will see where God was speaking after Jesus has showed himself to them. So many years later now. And they will weep and say, where did you get this wound? They are asking him. He said, in the house of my friends. You crucified me. You didn't know. Look at the wound. And they will be crying, all of them. Is that right? Is that right, sir?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. So when you are using the word woe, it's not a curse. Somebody tells himself, woe is me. I will be in pain. I will be in sorrow. Isaiah said to himself, woe is me, for I am an unclean man. I am undone. Have you read something like that in the scripture?
Yes, yes, yes.
So, it is not that Jesus cursed him. It is a weightier statement that weighed heavily on a man. It's a sorrow that you go through. And it's a terrible sorrow that he had to go through. Taking the money, going into the temple. If he was that a thief who loved money, he wouldn't have threw that silver on the temple and left. But he threw it away and left. Because he said, I have betrayed an innocent soul. I don't know the level of repentance or regret or remorse a man can show. Please, sir, let's not keep overflowing the matter. It's not an issue of argument. We are all trying to show that in God showing mercy, even the most extreme case, we should see what God can do. Okay. That is the issue.
Okay. I understand you, sir.
Sorry, sir.
No,
maybe
yes,
you
sir.
Don't know
no,
the definition. Let me give you a definition.
Give me one, sir.
One moment, sir. So that you'll understand.
Yes, sir.
A dictionary definition of woe.
Yeah.
As a noun, it means misery resulting from affliction or intense mournfulness. That is the meaning of woe.
According to dictionary, sir.
According to dictionary.
Sir,
it's
sir.
An English word.
Yes, sir, sir.
It's yes, an English no, word.
Sir, of what happened after that, sir? Are we saying committing suicide is not a sin?
Sir, praise God.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you were here on Sunday when I took this topic. I still ask a question.
No, sir. I was not here.
Can we read Matthew chapter 12? Verse 31 and verse 32. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. My emphasis is verse 32. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. The sin that Judas committed, is it a sin against the Holy Ghost? Is it a sin against the Son of Man or against the Holy Ghost?
Which of the two, sir?
The sin that Judas committed.
Against Christ?
Against Christ. Is okay. It forgivable or not?
Well, I'm still holding on to the pronouncement of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay,
that's why I don't know
God
the answer.
You, sir.
That's
Lord,
why I don't know the answer I will give
may
on
the
that.
Lord give us more understanding. We have many more people to answer their questions.
Okay.
Thank
sir.
You very much. Yes, sister.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
Pastor, my question is, okay, you once taught us that before you get to the level of perfection, I mean, as in the status of perfection is charity. And that without it, you cannot make heaven.
Sure.
And on Sunday, you said that we have the good children of God and the bad children of God.
Sure.
And that we all will go to heaven. And that when we get there, the bad ones will not have authority to rule or so.
Yes.
And my question is, the bad ones,
yep.
Since you cannot get to the level of, if you don't get to the status of perfection, as they are bad, can they have charity in them and still make heaven? Or if, as far as that, they're called the children of God, can they, I don't know.
Listen, church, we are talking about perfection. So we are Matthew chapter 5. The Lord Jesus Christ said, be ye perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Perfection there is maturity. You must mature. You cannot remain a baby Christian always. And this is how you grow. You add to your faith knowledge. Knowledge. Add to it temperance. Add to it like that until you reach that cap of charity. You are supposed to grow. And remember that one who is not matured, you cannot commit responsibility into their hands. So, you see, when it comes to salvation, church, let me quickly, I don't know the question some of you want to ask. When I was teaching on eternal security, it is opportunity to give somebody confidence, more faith, so that you can have a better relationship with your heavenly Father, not as a servant, not as a slave, not as one you will walk with your fear, 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 as if tomorrow he will disown you and then throw you to hell. Now, I am expecting that when you come to the realization that you are a child of God and that you are an eternal being, that realization will also help you to know how to walk with God. It gives you a confidence that makes you go through this earth under any condition. Nothing will distract you because there is a better hope you have than anything on this earth to distract you. And that you should know that whatever you are now, as far as salvation is concerned, is by the mercy of God. So you won't be proud if you catch that understanding. Now let me just quickly show you something, for instance, about the mercy of God. And these things are there to teach us something. Let's open Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. Matthew chapter 1, I believe that is the verse. Now, first verse 1, so that you understand it more. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. He wants to trace the lineage of Jesus. Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then from verse 2, Abraham begat Isaac. Trace it now. And Isaac begat Jacob. And Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar. And Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram, and Aram begat Aminadab, and Aminadab begat Naason, and Naason begat Salmon. Watch it from verse 5 now. And Salmon, see, there is an emphasis that is laid in this verse 5. Catch this emphasis. And Salmon begat Boaz, and he mentioned his mama's name. What is the name of the mother?
Who is Rahab? The harlot in Jericho. A harlot is the lineage of Jesus. Salmon married that woman after they conquered that city of Jericho and speared that harlot by the name of Rahab. Watch it again. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, a Gentile Ruth. He mentioned the mama of Obed so that you will know that it was the woman was not even part of the children of Abraham. A Gentile woman. And then, see it again. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David, the king. And David, the king, begat Solomon. He mentioned the mama of her that had been the wife of Uriah. David killed her husband and married her. Despite the number of wives that he had, it is this woman that he murdered the husband to marry her that God chose for Christ to come through that lineage. Mercy. Mercy. So when you are saying crucify him, kill Judas, kill this one, kill this, did he commit the worst sin? If anything at all, son of perdition is one that leads people to destruction. That's the meaning. Okay? Achan, uncle, because of the sin Achan committed, so many Jews, Israelites, died under Joshua in the battle of Ai. Because he brought their curse into the camp, he brought defeat. Therefore, we can say Achan was a son of perdition. Okay? Now, also, we have, what do you call him? David. David is referred to as the man after God's own heart. One day, David decided, contrary to the commandment of God, to number Israel. And for doing it, it was not David that died. 70,000 Jews died by that pestilence caused by David. So David too is a son of perdition. David did something for 70,000 to die. Innocent people. Judas, only one person to die. One Jew to die, Jesus. David, 70,000 died. So who is the son of perdition? Why are you facing Judas and not facing David also? Praise God. So that you'll understand mercy. Praise the Lord. Let me answer another person. Yes.
George, praise the Lord.
I'm calling for people.
Pastor.
There's a call coming in. There's a call coming in. Okay, we're not ready for that call yet. Yes? Let me hear you. Go on, please. Okay.
Osita. I have a question for from Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. That Christ has redeemed us from the curse, being made the curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on the cross of the tree." I want you to reconcile that scripture. Reconcile that scripture with 2 Samuel 16. Are you supposed to hang himself? How can we reconcile this scripture with the hanging himself on the tree? With that, are you supposed to and the and the IG ever the street in the
I'm sorry, the line is not too clear. Maybe when it's clearer, but maybe he will come up later again. But our brother that just spoke now, that is since 1976. I just caught something now from what he quoted. Jesus was cursed.
Yes. Eh? Jesus, no.
He was cursed.
I mean Judas now.
Jesus too was cursed.
Who cursed him, sir?
The scripture says so. Cursed is he that hanged on the tree.
Yes, that is when he was carrying our sin.
Eh?
That was when he was carrying our sin.
But Judas too was cursed to be able to send Jesus to carry our sin.
Sir, they are not of the same nature, sir.
They are not
of the same nature.
No, curse is a curse.
No, sir.
God bless you. Yes, let me hear you.
Question, I'm seeing it. Hello, good evening. Hello, good evening. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, my name is Austin. My question is to Pastor and the other brother. There is some echo coming because the pastor is busy. Hello?
You're on air. Go on.
Okay. Hello. Good. My name is Austin Adesini from Lagos. Okay. My question and my comment is that there are some people that literally believe that righteousness is what they are doing on earth. And Jesus Christ was trying to tell some of them that they don't even understand the earth, not to talk of the heaven. That the righteousness is of God. That all the old man was trying to talk, he was just saying it from his thinking and ideology. That is not true. And in scripture, it is like law that is taught. That they say to God, you scrutinize everything one by one. You cannot say because it is Mr. A and Mr. B. You just, they base it on law. Surely that you just try to understand the situation more. Not thinking that's what they feel about God. So, God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, really, God is with you. The spirit of God stand and strong.
God bless you, Brother Austin. You are in Lagos. You are in Lagos. You didn't have fuel to come and join us here. God bless you. Thank you for the comment, for your contribution. Yes, please.
Church, praise the Lord. Pastor, I came all the way from Port Harcourt to worship here today.
You're welcome. God bless you.
Yeah. I have some question to ask. I was asked that question in Port Harcourt. After taking them from Genesis to Revelation, and that particular question was very hard for me to answer. And I said in my heart that I will come and meet you, you as my spiritual father.
You are welcome.
The question said that from the brother, they were arguing the book of this Bible of being formulated by some certain group of people and being used to reap some people from their wealth, that if I can be able to tell them what happened to John the Revelator, how he was taken to the island of Patmos, and there he wrote the book of Revelation. Now I was asked, those who wanted to kill him, after trying to kill him, and he did not die. They have to carry him to island of Patmos. And he began to ask me, I supposed to know how an island look like. Where you see only land at the middle of the sea. And without any boats, anyone that are dropped there is condemned already and is supposed to die. Now the question is that, we said that the book of Revelation was written by John, and that God gave him that at that island of Malta, I mean Patmos. Now they carry him by boat and drop him there. After leaving him, who gave him the book and pen he used in writing. And after writing, who carried him out from there back to the land? I was unable to answer that question. That I see that we are just deceiving people.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What he's telling you to do is to go to the history of John. Certainly, there is a history of how he got there and how he got the materials to write what he wrote and how he came out of that place. Certainly, the history will be there. But for sure, we have no argument that John was one of the disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, that man will ask the same question to tell you that how do you believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again? What is the proof? Were you there? How did it? It's all history. What makes you believe that? And on and on. When you meet scoffers, they will ridicule salvation. There are even some that go as far as saying there is no God. The problem with us is that we cannot discuss salvation with anyone that is not ready for salvation. So tell him, I cannot explain, but somehow God has caused me to believe it. I believe it. How I believe it, I don't know, but I believe it. If you say I am following, I am being deceived. The question I will ask is, what am I losing in believing it? If you can show me what I am losing in believing this Bible, I will drop it. But I can show you what that hope, the hope that Bible has given me. So if you say that I am following empty hope, wait until we get there. But even if I get there and I don't see anything, I have lost nothing. Because that book has caused me to live an upright life. I'm satisfied with it. God bless you. Yes.
Good evening, sir.
God bless you.
My question is a question or advice. My question is, there is one sister that is getting married. After 1 year, the husband now bringing back home say that no conceive. So I want to advise, what the sister now do?
Wait. Praise the Lord. See, I am answering questions from believers. I cannot use Bible to solve unbelievers' problem. The Bible is for believers. And the Bible does not permit us to divorce. So if that man is a Christian, he will not divorce his wife for because of fruit of the womb. It will be wrong. But should it happen, and now this sister is a Christian.
Yes, sir.
Now she's a Christian, and the man has dumped her and gone away to go and marry another woman, maybe somewhere. Certainly, she won't live in perpetual celibacy. She will have to marry because that man has broken the vow. When the vow is broken, it's no more her fault, it is his fault. So she is free to remarry if all other things, conditions are satisfied. God bless you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Shalom, church.
God bless you.
Sir, my question goes like this. This question I want to ask is bothering me too much. Where?
Please ask your question.
I have this question on this week, Tuesday, Shiloh. But it was clear to me. I don't like it well. So this person, I had it for the one pastor mouth. It's, as he's way praying. So he's speaking some language, some certain word or language about some demons.
Sopolos?
Yes. And Incubus.
Sokodos.
So the way I now find it, I now go for Google. Now see it exactly what it's...
what is your question?
My question goes like this. That's this Sukumbus. Is it because I know that it's a different spirit that manipulates a human being, this earth. So now read the book of Jeremiah 7 verse 16. Now find that it is ego is a spirit. They are living in heaven. So now I want to know, is it a man or a woman?
You say, you are contradicting yourself. You say a spirit. Yes, then you are asking again, a man or a woman?
Yes, sir.
Man or woman is a human being. A spirit is a spirit. So what's your question?
You know, sir, the book of this Jeremiah 7, verse 16, the way you didn't mention a man, you didn't mention a woman there. But if you go for the way the man is pronounced,
why are you so bothered about knowing about these spirits? How does it affect your salvation as a Christian? How does it help you in your Christian life? Because you look so worried over Sukumbus and
Incubus.
I don't know anything about those spirits. I'm sorry, I can't help you. Maybe you have to go to the Catholics and ask them. God bless you. Yes?
Good evening, sir. So my question is in on Judas Iscariot. There's
a question on the screen. Shalom, church. Brother Moses, I would like to ask a question concerning the gift of prophecy. Can a prophet be a sinner and yet his gift is still intact? Because there is a young man who claims to be a major prophet in a TV station in this satellite, and his church is full of carnal worshippers and miracle seekers. My second question is, sir, William Branham said in one of his teachings that people bearing titles like Reverend, Doctor, Pope, and also are blasphemous titles, including the title Apostle. And from your teaching, sir, the office of an apostle is strictly for the disciples. So does it mean that preachers like Apostle Johnson Suleiman, bearing the title Apostle, have sinned? Please, sir, God help you and your ministry as we shed more light on those two questions. The first question again, can I just see that first question again? The first question is, can a prophet be a sinner and yet his gift is still intact? Now, in the context that you are asking this question, you are pointing to that prophet as being a sinner because his church members are full of carnal people by your judgment. Now, the composition of the church is not the determinant of whether the pastor or the prophet is a saint or a sinner. If not, you will see some people in this church and use them and call me a sinner. So take note of that first. But general, there is a scripture, I think it's Psalm 66. Verse 18. Let's read it. Psalm 66, verse 18. Psalm 68, verse 18. It said, "Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also. He has received gifts for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. In the Bible, anointing is also referred to as rain. And Jesus Christ said, rain falls on the just and the unjust. Therefore, we don't use the gift to determine whether somebody is converted or not. Because the gift that God gives, He gives both to the just and the unjust. He gives also to the rebellious. Praise God. So that you will understand Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Can we read it? Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 22. Let's read on, please. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Like many of those prophets you watch on the television these days. And then will I, Jesus, profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. God bless you. The second question. What was the second question? The titles that people bear. There are only six titles that God has given attached to offices for the work of the ministry. Six offices. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the work, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the defining of the body of Christ. The next office is the office of the deacon. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8. Likewise must the deacons, that's an office, be grave. And he gave all their qualifications. So these are the six offices. If you bear any other title other than any of these six, apostle this, deacon this, evangelist this, pastor this, any other one, it has no biblical support. And some of them are truly blasphemous names. When a man takes upon the title of deity, you are equating yourself with divinity. You are equating yourself with God. The name of God alone is reverend. When a man says he is reverend, that's why William Branham called it blasphemous title. And then when somebody comes and says he is a bishop, yes, 1 Timothy chapter 3, let's read it again from verse 1. We see an office there. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desired the office of a bishop, he desired a good work. Bishop there is the terminology used for a leadership office in the church. And they are referring to any of the fivefold ministry. That is bishop. You are either a bishop, another word for it is elder, another word for it is shepherd, another word for it is pastor. In charge of a local assembly. Not a chieftaincy title that you grow and grow and grow into. As done in the denomination, it has no relevance to the Church of Jesus Christ. And that's why William Branham stressed it out that Anyone bearing any of those titles, don't make it look as if he has attained some special position in the Church of Jesus Christ. Nothing. Nothing like that. And he's saying that he's making reference to Apostle. It's not only Suleiman that is bearing apostle. Go to Saleh, the fool there. Saleh, fool there. Even in the entire message, you have them there. I try to let you people know that the office of the apostle, I have explained it several times, and nobody has so far come up to maybe correct me, because you can't fault it. If you notice, in that scripture and several other scriptures, the church of Jesus Christ is described as a house that has is taken just likened to Solomon's temple that took 7 years to build. The temple of God is the church of Jesus Christ. It's also taking 7 church ages to build. And in that building, just like David got all the materials, and the materials were from all over the world. He prepared them. Every one of us here, our position in Christ has been determined from the foundation of the world. Oh, glory be to God. You will have problem in your ministry only when you go to try to go to where is not your call. But if you are serving God where God has called you, you fit into it, there will be no schism. In the building of Solomon's temple, for 7 years, say, there was no sound of chisel or hammer. For 7 years, they took time. The stones were already made down. When it reaches any stage, they will only look for the stone. Once they spot the stone, they carry it. It just fits in there. Boom. They look for another one. It comes in there, fits in there. Boom. And then we are skilled workmen. And you know, even today, in any big major building, there are some companies that all they specialize is in making foundation. Costain, if you know some of them. All they specialize, any big construction, their own, they specialize only in laying foundation. And this same, and that building, any other person that will come and build, you will only build upon that foundation. And the building of the body of Christ, the church of Christ, that temple of the Holy Ghost, the church, also has foundation builders. And those foundation builders are the apostolic ministry, upon which we have been building upon in the past 7 church ages. And Apostle Paul said, anyone that preaches any other gospel contrary to what they have preached, let him be accursed. He said, no other foundation can any man lay than what has already been laid. You can't lay any other foundation. Praise the Lord. Therefore, because there can be no other foundation, no man can come in this age and now say he's an apostle. Because the apostolic ministry still exists now, but it exists in the Bible. For everyone who says God call you, you will only come to build, not to lay foundation again. The foundation already has been laid by the office. Therefore, all that we have now are prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors. Together with the apostles, make the fivefold ministry. God bless you. So anybody that says it's an apostle, it's a misplacement of office. So including Apostle Johnson Suleiman, he should just stay as what? Because he is a prophet also. He's an apostle. and he's also a pastor. So it's confusion. It's a confusion. Confusion. One man cannot occupy all those offices. Lila, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So tell him to go and remain a prophet. And all of them, they tend to look at the apostolic office as very important. The highest one. That is why they are claiming that so that they will be looked upon as some highly placed people in the church. That is why they bear all that. But I'm sorry, you are occupying an office that God did not give you. And among the four other offices, the highest among them is the office of a pastor. It's the toughest among all of them. And so, if Apostle Johnson Suleiman is a prophet, then he should go and work under a pastor. He cannot pastor people and be a prophet. So he should answer Pastor Johnson Suleiman. And I am not demoting him. In actual sense, I am promoting him to the office of a pastor because it's higher than a prophet. Prophet, evangelist, all serve under a pastor. So if I say Apostle Johnson Suleiman, take your position. I am promoting you to the office of a pastor. It's promotion. I'm not demoting him. But the Pentecostal knowledge will look at it as if I'm insulting the man. And that's evidence too, that it is honor you are looking for, not service. God bless you. Yes?
Sir, what is the place of Matthias that replaced Judas Iscariot in heaven?
The place of Matthias that replaced Judas in the earthly ministry under the heaven, the position that Judas will have taken as the 12th apostle, he lost it for another to take his place according to the prophecy that was written.
So when he died, is he going to be among 24 elders or what?
He is going to be given a big crown, but among those 24 elders, he cannot be there because it's not among the 12 initially called by Jesus.
So the second question is taken from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. So I want you to show more light on the gentleness and meekness there.
Meekness. The difference between meekness
and gentleness.
And gentleness. To my understanding, they are all English words. Why not go to the dictionary and find out? Have you gone to the dictionary and found out? There are two English words. But as far as spirituality is concerned, meekness has to do with humility. While gentleness has to do with comportment. I think that's all.
So the last question, I want to know about the communion, the denomination I used to observe, like redeem and all that. Does that have to effect in the Bible?
That what?
The communion they used to.
The communion they have?
Yes.
I don't know the communion they have.
They used to take communion. Like
yes, every Christian is supposed to take communion. So what is the question about their communion?
Does that mean, no, Jesus Christ said, except eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have life in me.
Yes.
And they too, they used to take it. Does that mean they don't have life in them, the life of Jesus Christ?
You said they take it.
Yes.
And you are saying, does it mean they don't have it? So your question is very confusing. If Jesus said, except you eat it, you will not have life. And now they eat it. So
I'm
it means
talking about being them having the Holy Ghost.
No, reframe your question again.
That is, you know, communion has to do when you take the eat the flesh of Jesus. Definitely, you have the life of Christ. You have the Spirit of God in you.
When you eat His flesh.
Yes.
So when you come on communion day, then you eat that bread, then you have the life of Christ. Is that your understanding of that scripture? I'm going to eat bread every day.
No.
That is not what it means. What Jesus Christ was saying, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Eating there is digesting, understanding what his blood is offered for, what his body was offered for. Except you have that understanding, you digest it. Go back again to Matthew 16. Who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Upon this rock I build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail. It is understanding, not eating bread. Thank you. Yes. Go on, please.
Shalom, sir.
Oh, there's a question on the screen.
Hello.
From Carlos de Yakubu Ali. I believe totally that Judas did not go to hell if at all his name was in the book of life. Moses sinned at the end of his earthly journey, yet he met heaven because he and Elijah appeared to Jesus at the transfiguration. But my confusion is John 6:70. Can we read John 6:70? That's where he called him the devil, have you? Can we read it? Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Praise God. But he also called Peter Satan. Satan, get thee from away from me. Praise God. God bless you. Yes, next person.
Shalom, church. Sir, during the resurrection week,
go ahead.
You were making us to believe that we were celebrating Passover.
Yep.
How I'm thinking that we are Christians and not Jews, and our mosaic, and that we are not obligated to observing the ordinances of the Jews.
What is Passover?
Passover is the feast that is celebrated by the Jews.
Signifying what?
In connection with their exodus from Egypt.
Okay, can we just read one scripture? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Sir, can you read it?
Yes.
Read it.
Purge out therefore the living, that ye may be a new lump.
Let me read it. Okay, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Christ is our Passover. What does that mean?
He was making the relationship with the Jews. That is,
Christ came to fulfill all those ceremonies, isn't it? So just as the Passover lamb made the firstborn to escape from the last plague that came on Egypt, the angel of death was going to pass through the land, and only those, the house that has the blood applied to the doorpost and the lintel of the house, only that house, when they see that blood, the angel of death will pass over. So also, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, he should not perish. Perish when? When the angel of death will pass through this earth. There is a blood of this lamb that was also shed. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That is why he is our Passover. Only those who apply that blood, this time in the door and lintels of the heart, that's talking about conversion, that the angel of death will pass over them. Therefore, what actually happened on the at Calvary was actually the slaughtering of the lamb as of our Passover lamb as it was done in Egypt. That is why we celebrate the Passover.
Sir, here is my understanding of it. But pointing out that we are Christian and what we are consensus is Christ. And by no means shall the Christians become the Jews. Because
we are not Jews.
Then if we are drawn, if we have been drawn to that, we are relating the death of Christ as a Passover, are we not being drawn to that very...
Certainly, me and you will have to talk. Because you want me to repeat over and over and over. If you don't catch the similitude, if you don't catch the shadow, the type fulfilled in Christ, and then you have to quarrel with Apostle Paul, who was telling us that Christ is our Passover. If it's our Passover lamb, then we should celebrate it. Nothing wrong with it.
Okay, sir. I have another question.
Yes.
I'm having a feeling for that man called Jephthah. Would it be that that man married after he sacrificed his daughter?
He did what?
Did he marry after the conquest of the...
What has Jephthah got to do, marrying another woman, got to do with the death of his daughter?
We are talking Bible. I think that is a Bible.
No. Go back. You are confused. Go back and read that story again. He was not married to his daughter now.
No, he sacrificed. He offered him.
But what has he got with Jephthah marrying again?
No, what I'm asking is Jephthah, who had done the salvation of the Israeli that very time. How would it be that he will sacrifice his generation for that very conquest?
You are asking why?
Yes.
He made a vow. That's the reason. God bless you. Next.
Let's go, church. Good evening.
Okay, again on the... From River State, Brother Johnson. Shalom, church. So according to Hebrews 10:26-27, does it mean that the blood of Jesus will never be relevant for him who sinned willfully and later decided to repent from it? You cannot crucify Jesus Christ afresh. If you read that scripture down, he ended it by saying it will be looked at as a dog going back to his vomit. That means he was not converted at all. That is the meaning. God bless you.
Good evening.
Yes.
We all know that as Christians, that no member of the body of Christ is supposed to be dormant. I want to ask, if for any reason an elect does not use his gift, is there any penalty?
Sure. In Luke chapter 19, there is a reward. Verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit with it. The manifestation of the Spirit is the gift that God has given you. That is the talent we see in Matthew 25 or Luke 19. And he will come back and he will demand. That is exactly what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10 was saying, for we all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ there is after the rapture for our reward. And he will reward us for what we did with the talent that he has given us. So some will be given, depending on how you gain, 10 cities. The fact that cities are mentioned, that lets you know it is in the millennium. So it simply means if you did not use it, you will have no authority. That is it.
Okay, thank you, sir.
God bless you. Yes, please. On the screen again. Shalom, sir. From who? Gloria, Cameroon. If God is one, why did the Bible say, come, let us make man in our image, after our likeness? Who is that us? Praise the Lord. When, I think I've answered this question before. Let us make man in our image. It's not only in creation. When he was also going to Tower of Babel, he also used the word, let us. Praise the Lord. When he was going to Sodom and Gomorrah, he also used, let us. Listen, church, before man was created, angels were already created. God already has his angelic family. And everything he does it by those angels. So God was talking with his angelic family. God bless you. God is one, and he will share his glory with no man. Yes, please.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
So, I'm happy to be in your midst today. This is my first time of coming here. I came from Ebonyi State.
You're welcome.
You have been one of the online members.
You are welcome.
Thank you, sir. So the problem that has been bothering myself that I will ask whenever I reach here is, in our church, Assemblies of God, we always believe that going to other churches is not good, because when you go there, you don't know which other, we don't know which of them is all this invitation, that having invitation pastors or prophet. So, the problem
which
I
have... Which of them is what?
Having all this invitation... prophet, that is the prophesy that you are this and that. That is why they say we should not go to other churches. But as we watch all this in, I am convinced that this church is not all this Magomago church.
Clap your hands now. Some good commendation.
So, the area I'm convinced is like our side. We don't have this end-time message church. The question I want to ask over there is, if someone who have seen this truth wants to marry and there is no end-time message within that side, because at our church, before we married, they will call this name, the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. While in me, I have been confused that there is nothing like that. So, what shall I do in that situation?
I can see you are more worried about marriage than eternal life.
Why I'm asking like this is because now at the end I will be baptized here, rebaptized. But what about the other side?
What of the other side?
The side of that marriage. Because somebody have married and they asked me, if you say that if you go there, you will be baptized. What of those that were unable to rebaptize? I mean, what of those that have married in the name of the Father and the Son? As if I go there, I will be baptized on this. What are they going to do?
Listen.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Marriage has nothing to do with salvation.
Okay.
The important thing is, may they give you your wife. Okay. If they like, may they say Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
Okay.
What makes that woman your wife is not the pronouncement in Jesus' name. What makes that woman your wife is that you have paid her dowry. If you have not paid her dowry, even if they come and join in the name of Jesus, you are not married. So, go and get your wife and marry. Don't waste time. Whichever way they want to have. Make sure you love your wife and make sure that the two of you live, you know, a godly life. So, because you are in Assemblies of God and you are hearing some things from us that is confusing you. The reason why God raised this ministry, you have not caught it yet. The day you catch it, you will not only be talking about marriage, you will be talking about your eternal destination. And you will do what you are supposed to do, what the message tells you to do. What does the message say? Say it again. Now you talk. What does it say? Thank you. Yes, brother.
Praise the Lord.
On the screen again. Shalom, church. From Enugu, Sister Bennett from Enugu State, Nigeria. Shalom, church. In the book of Job, when the sons of God were having meeting, Satan went. My question is Satan also a son of God? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You have to also ask, heaven is an address, right? But God had a discussion with Satan. Where are you coming from? Where did he say is his address? Say it again. He has no address. Even as we are gathering here, now, are we not children of God? He is not afraid to come here. He can even come here too. But this is not his address. God bless you. Yes?
Praise the Lord, church. I was the boy that asked you a question on Sunday. So I said I will call you on phone. The question I want to ask is about the Godhead.
Yes.
So I don't believe in Trinity. I believe in Trinity before. But now I've deleted it in my mind. But I'm still confused.
Yes.
Because you say that God is one. Not that you say, the Bible says that God is one.
Thank you.
That we have one God. It's truth. But Jesus says that he that will follow me will carry his cross and follow him day and night. And he says again that some in a place that he says that that he will confess the person's name before his Father and the angels in heaven. So if Jesus is God, who is he going to confess his name and before the angels in heaven?
What you will have asked me is, how is Jesus God? That's all you want to ask.
Okay.
How is he God? He is God because Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, what does it say? Let's read it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. For it pleased the Father of Jesus, that in him, Jesus, should all fullness dwell. Colossians chapter 2, again verse 9. What does it say? For in him, Jesus, now, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Another scripture, because of time, it says, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. He is God because God, the great eternal spirit, came in all fullness and dwelt in that human being that he created, making him Emmanuel, God with us. That's why Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 3, can we read it? Can we read that scripture? Verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, and without controversy, he said, great is the mystery. It is a mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preach unto the Gentile, believe on in the world, receive up into glory. Your question is, how can he be God and still talk to God again, to the Father? That is why I say you will have asked, how is he God? So he was the Son of God. Why? He was the Lamb, the body that God created as an offering for the remission of our sins. But God dwelt in him as an office. But he was still a man. So the mystery there is that he was 100% a human being and 100% God.
Thank you, sir.
That is the mystery.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. So when he is speaking, know when he's speaking as a man. And when he's speaking as deity, you should also catch it.
I've gotten it.
Because God cannot cry. But he cried when his friend died. There he displayed humanity and divinity. He says, I am the resurrection and life. But he cried. He cried. He cried that his friend died as a man. But suddenly again, I am the resurrection and the life. Lazarus, come forth.
God bless you, sir.
God bless you.
My second question is this, about December.
Come, all of now. No, if you answer all of now, time don't go. Yes?
About December, I want to know, is it good for the birth of Jesus to celebrate? They say that Jesus was born on December.
They say?
Yes.
Who are these?
The Catholics.
Get our tape that we preach here. We took time to teach using the scripture. And you will see that Jesus was born between September and October using the Bible. Everything we teach, we have it in the Bible to show you.
Okay. What is the topic?
The topic. Yes. Christ was not... what is the topic? Eh? What is the title of that message? Christ was not born in December. I think something like that.
Okay, sir. My Just last question.
Ask them in the tape stand. They'll give it to you.
My last question.
Yes.
How can one discover his gift?
How can one discover his gift?
Yes. Know his gift, yes.
When it begins to manifest, then you discover it. I think I've answered you. It's true now.
Hello.
When you begin to see vision, is that not your gift?
Hello.
Yes.
God bless you, sir.
Joshua from Gombe. You're on air.
Yeah. Shalom, church. Brother Moses, I have a question. My question is that I was listening to the message you preach, handwriting on the wall. And there you said somebody will go and sit down and watching a boxing. And people are beating each other is a sign of handwriting on the wall. And you say it's one favorite game of Brother Abraham is the boxing. So I want you to clarify that place for me, please. God bless you.
Sorry, the last statement you made. The question again, please.
You said in the message you preach, handwriting on the wall. That one of the signs of the handwriting on the wall is somebody will go and sit down, watching boxing. He's laughing. People are beating each other. He's laughing. So it's the sign of handwriting on the wall. And he said one of the favorite game of Brother Abraham is the boxing. So those two places I want you to clarify for me. Too.
You want me to clarify it?
Yes, sir.
I don't know what. You want me to preach it again?
Not preach it again, sir. I want you to make it for me clear.
I said handwriting on the wall there is sign of the end. And it's true that I say one of the signs of the end is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Malachi chapter 4, verses 5. And 6b, part B, that was fulfilled in the ministry of Elijah, because he said before the ministry of William Branham, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, I will send you Elijah the prophet. That means once you see Elijah the prophet manifest, it becomes a sign that the great and dreadful day is at hand. Therefore, that fulfillment of that scripture becomes a sign of the end. That's what I mean.
Okay. God. Hello, bless.
Yes. Thank you very much.